I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters. Every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, and welcome back to The Carol Markowitz Show on iHeartRadio. Have you heard of this concept of girl dinner? The basic premise that if a woman is eating alone, she's having something random, like a bowl of cereal or tortilla chips for dinner. I just spent 10 days in Michigan living alone without my family, and I can tell you that the image of the single life drinking martinis in ball gowns at nice restaurants, I mean, that's not even close. I ate really badly, alone, on a couch. What's interesting about this is it's the man who is the stabilizing force here, right? We always think of women as being the good societal influence on a man, but here's a case of men doing it for women. Something about being in a relationship causes you to have the real meals for dinner instead of like half an apple and a bag of chips. Apparently, the original poster about girl dinners was eating grapes, cornichons, bread, and cheese, which actually all sounds amazing to me. As fast as girl dinner became a trend, of course, there was the inevitable backlash. It was racist, who knows why. It promoted stereotypes and gender roles, blah, blah. It somehow opposed body positivity because I guess the girls aren't eating enough. I don't know. The thing is, obviously, men left to their own devices probably don't do that great food-wise either. I know my husband loves to get Taco Bell with the kids when I'm away because I just wouldn't do that, right? I've talked a lot about all the positives of being in a relationship and the way it benefits you in so many different ways. The way we eat is a part of that. We all understand that girl dinners or boy Taco Bell nights are not good in the long term. And yes, of course, there are plenty of single people eating very healthy. I'm not taking anything away from them on that. And I'm sure there are some coupled people eating popcorn and a cucumber for dinner. But being in a couple elevates you. It makes you strive to be better. You're not eating your grilled chicken on a fork over the sink. And yes, I've done that. None of us are perfect, but we're all trying to be better. Coming up next, an interview with John Cardillo. Join us after the break.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what He says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Carol Markowitz Show on iHeartRadio. My guest today is my good friend, John Cardillo, conservative commentator and former NYPD. Hi, John.
Hey, Carol. Good to finally be with you.
So nice to have you on. So a running joke in our group of friends is nobody knows what you do.
It's so true, right?
So it was great when I was like, how should I introduce you? You're like, you know, conservative commentator, whatever.
I'm a boring private equity guy these days. That's it. You know, and I cause trouble on Twitter, but yeah, I love that. I love how you guys bust my chops on that. It makes my day every time I'm with you.
We were at an event one time and we were going around the table and everybody was introducing themselves. And I was sitting next to Dave Rubin. And so as we're like going around the table and everyone's, you know, I'm whatever. And I, this is my job. I wrote to Rubin, like, I can't wait to find out what John Cardillo does.
Remember that? Yeah.
And then when it got to you, we still didn't really know.
Oh, no, I kept it as cryptic as possible. Yeah.
Right. You were like, you know, yeah, it was definitely, I would say CIA, but it's not CIA. It's something beyond that. It's Mossad. Like, let's be real. So you're also known in our group of friends as like the OG Floridian. A lot of us in our crew, we moved here in the last, you know, 2 years. Well, Ruben and I, last 2 years, Lisa Booth a little bit before that, Josh Hammer, Dave Reboy a little bit before that. But you have been here, and Jordan Schachtel also around that same time. But you've been here the longest, and, you know, you're a genius. How did you know to come to Florida? What was the draw?
Yeah, it was really a combination of things, right? So February 23rd. Just a few weeks ago, right, was my 20th year in Florida. And I had been in Miami in Brickell area for about 11 years and up in Fort Lauderdale for about the last nine. And I love it up here, by the way. I'm on the east side as well, which is a lot more red. Everybody thinks Broward County is so blue, and it is.
Right.
Mathematically, but on the east side, when you're east of Federal, it's pretty red. I mean, you've got your Trump and DeSantis flags on pretty much every boat on the intracoastal over here. For me, it was a combination of things. You know, after leaving the NYPD for the private sector, just wanting to leave New York after 9/11, candidly, right? I left 3 years after 9/11. And Florida was a place that I didn't only come on vacation. When I was a kid, my dad was essentially a national sales manager for an industrial company, and Florida was one of his lucrative territories. And I was down here all the time as a kid. Mm-hmm. And then some cousins that I was very close to, an aunt and uncle, my aunt, uncle at the time had worked for Motorola, which had a big presence in South Florida. They moved down. And so we would come down to visit them quite a bit. And I always loved it. You know, I always had really good memories, really good times in Florida as a kid. So it was a place I would vacation in college and then as an adult. And for me, it was just a pretty logical choice. I was comfortable with it. I knew it. The Brickell area of Miami was vertical, right? So a lot of high rises. So when you come out of New York City, it was a really comfortable transition.
Yeah.
A couple of friends had made the move. And so that was what my reasoning and the catalyst for me moving down was.
Interesting. So it's funny because we looked at Brickell, but I found it just like not that walkable. And I guess we have kids, so it wasn't, you know, quite as what the picture I had in my head. But yeah, the vertical thing, it's true. It really does remind me of New York, and so much of it feels very New Yorkish. But so it's funny because, again, you predate the whole mad rush to Florida. Yeah. That happens in the last 4 years. We're really at the anniversary, basically, right now of pandemic lockdowns. And it's changed a lot. How do you feel about that? I mean, are there pluses and minuses, or is it one way or another?
You know, I wish some people, Carol, had a time machine to see what Brickell looked like. If you go to Brickell now, it's a world-class city, right? I mean, it's new and it's hot and it's upscale and, and you've got every shop you have in Manhattan and Midtown there, right? When I got to Brickell in 2004, there were maybe three real high-rises. The Four Seasons Tower that we've all been to, right, together or separately, was up. And that, I believe at the time, that was the tallest building on the East Coast of the United States outside of New York. It's like 800 and something feet. So there was that. And there was the condo building I lived in and the one I was moving into that was being built. Everything else, downtown had a couple of tall buildings, but the skyline of Miami, downtown Miami, was maybe six or seven notable buildings. Now there are just dozens. And so they literally built a city around me. I mean, one of the reasons I left Brickell
like
was
John is here. Let's do it.
Let's build it. You know, one of the reasons I left was because the traffic got so insane from all the construction. And when they started to put up that mall in Brickell, it would take me some days, 30, 45 minutes just to get to Publix at the grocery store each way with traffic. So I was ready. You know, I'd grown up in a city my whole life, right? I grew up in New York City, grew up in Queens, then lived in Manhattan, was now in another city, and I was getting more into the old Florida, kind of sleepy Florida.
Right.
And where I live in Fort Lauderdale now is a lot of boating and fishing. And
I think of you as like a cowboy. You're like living the Texas lifestyle in Florida.
Yeah. Hey, people don't realize you go like to Davie, right? 15 minutes west of here, and there's rodeos. It's horse country.
Right. So what about the people? Like, has the culture of Florida changed?
It has.
You know, for the better, for the worse?
Well, yeah, I think it's net neutral, right? It just depends what you like. When I moved down, if you didn't speak Spanish in Brickell, in Miami, really anywhere.
I still feel like that.
Well, let me tell you, it was a lot worse. I mean, there were days I'd walk into Walgreens where there wasn't one English-speaking employee.
Right.
True story.
I feel like my high school Spanish has not served me well in Florida at all. Like, I have no idea what's going on. It's not like nobody's asking me the directions to the library.
it was real different. So culturally, that was it. Now, I found Miami to be a lot like New York. It's not, it's a little bit transient in many respects, and people keep to themselves. So I always tell a story. I've told our group and our text chain a story. You know, when I lived in Miami, I didn't even know my neighbors when I lived in Brickell. I had a nice group of people I'd do happy hour with, but we were like acquaintances more than friends. But I didn't really know my neighbors. When I moved to Fort Lauderdale,
I find that very hard to believe. You are world's most social guy.
I'm a social guy, but you'd be surprised, right? So I knew the bartenders and I knew the happy hour crowd. But when I got to Fort Lauderdale, I moved to Fort Lauderdale in July of 2015. I did Thanksgiving dinner at a restaurant with a bunch of my neighbors that November, like a few months later. So it's really, it depends where you go, but some of the nicest, friendliest people I've ever met in my life, I've met down here in Florida.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back on The Carol Markowitz Show.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you miss New York ever?
You know, no, no. In fact, The last time, I was thinking about this the other day, the last time I was in New York was Buck's engagement party, and that was what, September 22?
I forgot to mention him in our chat.
He also moved down
in the last 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah, so Buck Sexton's engagement party was the last time I was in New York with all, but that I was in New York with you guys, or I was in New York at all.
Yeah. Wow, that's a while.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. And then I'm sorry, my mistake. And then, that was 22. Yeah. And then May of last year, I came in for a day. My mistake. May of last year, I came in for a day for my nephew's high school graduation.
But you don't miss anything about it.
No. That's why I've been there twice in 2 years and I forgot one of them.
Right, exactly. So we're recording this a few days after the funeral for a fallen police officer in New York. What do you think when you see stuff like that or the way that everything happened? He was killed by somebody who had been released from prison many times. I mean, this is not a political show, but I feel like that is such a cultural touch point, especially right now where people don't feel safe. And that's, that could be political, but it's very much societal. So what do you say? What do you think about that? Can New York come back?
You know, not at the rate they're going, right? So, you know, having been to too many police funerals, having responded one of my first month maybe on the job to the murder of a cop who graduated the academy with me, Sean McDonald. He was shot in the head responding to an burglary alarm that turned out to be an actual armed robbery. Another police officer shot in our command on the Grand Concourse, shot and killed. I went to too many funerals in a dress uniform. But this one of PO Jonathan Diller, now detective first grade, Jonathan Diller, I don't know if your viewers know this, but when New York City police officers are killed in the line of duty, the custom is at the funeral, they're then promoted to detective first grade, the highest rank of detective, so that their families can receive a better benefit, a much higher pension payout for the wife, and in this case, the young child.
Right.
But, you know, Carol, even in those situations, and every death is tragic, you didn't see the perps, the murderers, were not arrested 21 times and released.
Right.
And I don't think you can analyze that issue without being somewhat political.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem in New York City is this, and I'll try to condense it. It's when the district attorney's office won't prosecute, and they've been very clear.
Yeah.
The DAs in each borough have been very clear. They're going to take this radical far left approach and not prosecute certain crimes. Bad guys are emboldened, but worse for public safety. The NYPD stops making arrests because they can't incur the overtime. The cops will get in trouble. The commanders will get in trouble for incurring the overtime when they know the DA's office is going to kick the case. This is such a public safety crisis. I wish more people were talking about this, but they're not. Not enough people are talking about the whys. They're talking about the what happened, but not why it's happening.
What would you say is our largest cultural problem? Or like, do you think that this plays into that?
Well, I think it's you know, there's several, right? I think we saw this with the Antifa and Black Lives Matter riots. There's this insanely permissive attitude towards crime. It's just permissive. When you see videos every day of people walking into Macy's and Walgreens and Publix and every other store out there, no matter where you are in the country, just loading up backpacks and garbage bags full of merchandise and nobody's stopping them. And then you hear the story of the employee that tried to stop them being fired, or the police officer being reprimanded for using too much force to put on handcuffs. When you start to tell bad guys that what they're doing is not going to be punished, they're going to do more of it. I mean, you know, this doesn't take the greatest sociologist in the history of mankind to figure out.
Right.
And when you combine that with prosecutors who won't prosecute, what do they think is going to happen?
Do you think it's solvable? Like, is there anything that we can do?
Yeah. I mean, I think the blueprint is there. That I think, you know, that's a great question. Because it not only is it solvable, you take a guy like me that came out of the police academy, was in the police academy under David Dinkins, come out under Rudy Giuliani. Carol, when we implemented broken windows, when we implemented Rudy's policing strategies and Bill Bratton's at the time policing strategies, we noticed the difference on the street in about 2 weeks.
Really?
It wasn't 6 months. You lived in New York. You grew up there. You know what I'm talking
about. Yeah. I was in my teens, though. Yeah.
But we noticed it in weeks as cops. The bad guys weren't as brazen anymore when we drove by. They weren't spitting at the cars. They weren't throwing washing machines. True story. I had a washing machine and a refrigerator thrown off rooftops at me. They weren't doing that because now they knew they were going to be held accountable. It wasn't.
I didn't
David
realize
Dinkins
it was
anymore.
That fast. That it
yeah,
was,
we used to call it.
Yeah.
We used to call it airmail.
No, I meant I didn't realize you could see the change that fast. I thought it was like a years long process.
Well, statistically, right? Mm-hmm. The trickle down statistically took about a year. But I can tell you, having been on patrol at 4 to 12 every night in the South Bronx, the busiest times, you started to see, I'm not saying it was a sweeping change,
right,
but within a couple of weeks, those bad
attitude
guys on the
change.
Corner,
yeah,
they were a lot less bold. You started to see it very quickly.
Wow. That's very interesting. I wonder, you know, the thing about having a strategy that worked is the insanity that you need to be living under to not go back to it. It's like, hey, I know you've got called in the National Guard into the New York City subway, but what if you did this other thing that totally worked, you know, not that long ago and tried that instead? But no, they go for National Guard and that's somehow the better option.
And who can't do anything, who aren't empowered or allowed to do anything. And to your point, that other thing that works is the incredibly radically novel idea of enforcing the law and arresting bad guys and prosecuting them. There's no, you know, this. That's why, all jokes aside, that's why it's so frustrating. You know, me and Bernie Kerik, the former commissioner, a friend of mine, and I talked to countless guys and girls who are either still on the job or retired, and you bang your head against the wall because you're like, they know exactly what they need to do. It doesn't cost a penny more than anything they're doing, and they refuse to do it.
Right. But, you know, for us, we get to live in Florida, and we see action taken all the time. I didn't even know this was possible. I didn't know things like this were possible. Like the recent thing that our, you know, Governor DeSantis did where there was a lot of conversation around squatters. And mm-hmm. he was like, okay, well, here we go. I'm not going to have squatters in the state of Florida. It's illegal now. Like, oh, it's that simple. People could just fix problems. I was unaware until now, until I came to Florida. I didn't know that people can just fix problems and make bad things go away. I didn't realize politicians and government officials can actually do that. Was it always like that in Florida, or is he different?
No, I think it was, because in Florida, what you don't have to the degree that you have it in the blue states is even your Democrat voters down here are law and order voters. You know, I would always say when the Democrats would do defund the police and they would try to act like that would also creep into Florida, I always knew it wouldn't, because you take areas in West Broward County, and these are nice areas and you know, upscale, you know, upper middle class affluent areas. Yeah, maybe they vote blue. But you know what else they vote for? They also vote for their HOA dollars to pay for that off-duty police officer in the marked car to patrol their HOA at night. So there's a much different mindset down here with regards to law and order. I think it also has a bit to do with, I don't know how much, but a bit to do with the fact that this has always been a haven for retired cops from around the country because of no state income tax and all that fun stuff. And so I think culturally, what we see in places like New York and Chicago and Detroit and Baltimore, you just wouldn't see here, even in your blue cities.
Right. So what do you do on weekends? What's a John Cardillo weekend like?
Oh, you guys know, right? I clay shoot.
I do know.
I clay shoot. A lot of clay shooting, a lot of regular shooting. I'm so proud that I got you guys into guns. I'm just one of my greatest accomplishments.
I know. You really, you were such an inspiration. Getting us armed, you played a giant role in that. You introduced us to your guy who's, you know, now our guy.
Yeah.
Shout out to Manny at Palm Beach Tactical.
Manny at Palm Beach Tactical. We'll give him a plug.
We haven't come to the polo with you yet. That's something that
that's what I do on Sunday. You know what's so crazy? Everybody, whenever I say that, I get beat up. Oh, it's so pretentious. Take your horse golf somewhere. If I put up a picture of a polo match on Twitter right now, take your horse golf somewhere else.
Horse golf.
We knew you weren't a regular guy. I'm like, I have horses. I like to go to watch the horses. Yeah. I'm not, you know? Yeah, horse golf. I was like, horse golf. So I do a lot of that, or I go over to the beach club and, you know, I have a couple of vodka sodas, but that's the cool thing about Florida, right? There's so much to do. And the scene, you know, you could be in my neighborhood, go out and fish, and within 15 minutes, you're in horse country. Within an hour, you've got some of the best outdoor shooting ranges in America. It's such a cool place to live if you're into anything like that and doing stuff outdoors on the weekends.
Do you feel like you've made it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I felt like I was a Floridian after 5 years. After 15, I knew I was never leaving. I was like, hard for life to get a little better than this, you know?
Right. But as a, like, have you made it? Like, is that all that it takes to have a happy Floridian life?
I think you find...
None of us know what you do. I mean, that's got to be a goal.
I think you find the stuff. Look, you know, I did media for a long time. I still love it. I do hits like this a few times a week and stay abreast of the industry. But I was fortunate in that I had an expertise in the firearm space, tactical gear space. Mm-hmm. An opportunity presented itself to start pushing those products out in large scale. Mm-hmm. And I grabbed it, and it turned out to be a very good decision. But I can't really think of anything I would change about my life right now. So I guess I equate, have you made it, with more being happy about where you are than how many zeros? I mean, look, you always want more business, right? Everybody wants to always do better, but I don't ever wake up in the morning and say, and regret anything. I'm pretty energized.
I love it. End here with your best tip for my listeners on how they can live a John Cardillo life and improve their lives.
Start by moving to Florida. And all kidding aside, somebody once said to me, and it was the greatest piece of advice I've ever gotten, you can't steal second with your foot on first. And there really is no conventional path. When something, I'm a big believer in the sixth sense and that gut feeling, Carolyn. When something,
me too.
When something starts to feel wrong and something else starts to feel right, explore it. And if it starts to feel really right, pursue it.
Love it. Thank you so much for coming on, John. Love talking to you. I have to come to horse golf sometime.
Absolutely.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for joining us on The Carol Markowitz Show. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.